This is All Things Considered on 88.5 KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. President Trump's threat to deploy the U.S. military to quell unrest here in the United States drew swift reaction and deep concern from local, state, and federal leaders. Washington Congressman Adam Smith is chair of the House Armed Services Committee. The Democrat is calling for Defense Secretary Mark Esper and General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, to appear before his committee. Congressman Smith joins me on the phone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Appreciate the chance to be on.
The military has been deployed before under presidential orders. What is different about this moment in our history?
It's not just that the president has said he wants to deploy law enforcement. It's the way that he has said it. He has basically declared war on the people out there protesting in the streets. There are people who are committing crimes. We need to work with our state governments to control that, while at the same time listening and honoring to the peaceful protesters and also trying to address the issue. If the president gave any indication that he cared about systemic racism and the excessive use of force, that would make it easier for people to, you know, see that the peaceful part of the protest is being dealt with and that the criminal elements that are out there could be dealt with in a different way. But I also believe that when you then use the rhetoric of using the U.S. military, that is escalatory. That is in keeping with the "I will crush you" rhetoric that I think is unhelpful. Governors employ the National Guard under the control of governors. They are the ones that are supposed to be responsible for domestic law enforcement law, that the Posse Comitatus law makes it clear that the federal military is not supposed to engage in domestic law enforcement. And I think it sends a dangerous escalatory message to threaten to use the federal military on domestic law enforcement issues.
There are thousands of members of the military stationed here in Washington state, including at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. They live in these cities. From past conversations you've had with some of them, do you have a sense of how they might receive the idea of being deployed in their own communities?
Well, I've never had this conversation with a member of the military because, frankly, it's never been anything that's been that's been contemplated or used. The only time we point to in history was the 1992 use of the Insurrection Act, which is basically an emergency power that gives the president the right to use the military. And there, as I understand it, the federal forces were used because there were insufficient guard units available at that time. So it's not something – I'm sure if you asked your average active-duty member of the military, they would look at you like you were speaking a foreign language, like, no, that's not something we do. Now, if you're in the Guard, we've seen the Guard called up to deal with floods and fires and hurricanes and all manner of natural disasters. We've seen the Guard called up to deal with some of the challenges around the COVID-19 pandemic. And the Guard is now being used to help deal with some of the violence and instability in our cities as a result of the protests. And that's perfectly appropriate. But for the president to basically, again, say to all of the people protesting, we will crush you and we'll use the federal military to do it, sends a dangerous escalatory message.
The two people you're hoping to hear from in front of your committee, the defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, were with the president when he left the White House grounds yesterday to walk to St. John's Episcopal Church for a photo opportunity. Do you have any sense of how compliant they might be with your request to appear and then with your questions if they do?
Yes, I've spoken to both Secretary Esper and Chairman Milley in the last 24 hours, and they both told me that they did not know that that was where they were going, or that's what the president intended, they did not know that he was going to clear the peaceful demonstrators in the street so he could walk a trot the street and hold a Bible and have people take pictures of him. They did not say to me if they had known what they would have done. But let's just say that the Department of Defense, as we have seen in several articles, is also concerned about the way the president is talking about using them. So what I want to hear from them is, what are those concerns? What do you think the appropriate role of DOD is in dealing with this issue? And then I want answers about what happened yesterday. Who gave the order to clear those demonstrators? Why were there two National Guard helicopters buzzing the demonstrators in Washington, D.C.? Who gave that order? Who is controlling the situation? As to my optimism that they will show up and do this, it is low. They will be willing to talk to me. They'd be willing to talk to the committee on a private line. the executive branch, as you've seen, the president, has pretty much said that he doesn't allow his people to come over and testify before Congress. And I suspect that that order will come out on this request as well. But we've got to make the request, and we've got to push him on it, because oversight is part of the Armed Services Committee's responsibility. And I think the people of this country deserve to hear directly from the Secretary of Defense and directly from the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, under questioning by their elected representatives, why they made the decisions they made and what decisions they're likely to make going forward.
I want to turn now to some things going on here in this Washington. I know that you spoke yesterday at the First AME Church in Seattle as people gathered to mourn and reflect and vent. What did you hear while you were there?
I think that's the frustrating part about this is, at the cornerstone of this is something that I've worked on for a while. I've worked with Andre Taylor and other leaders on the initiative that was passed a year ago, that basically made it easier to prosecute law enforcement for excessive use of force. There is a very legitimate concern. If you are a person of color in this country, law enforcement treats you differently. Period. That is simply not debatable, and it is an enormous problem. In addition to that, we've seen case after case of an excessive use of force. And what I heard at that rally was a community that is hurting, a community that wants to believe in law and order and law enforcement and believe in the institutions that run our society, but can't, given the way those laws are being implemented. They want solutions. They want the powers that be, the leaders who make those decisions, to hear them and make the changes necessary to deal with these very, very legitimate concerns about the way laws are enforced in this country. That is the dominant message that I heard from the faith leaders and others that were gathered at the AME church yesterday.
Congressman Adam Smith, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate the chance.
Adam Smith is chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. His district in Congress includes Seattle, Bellevue, Federal Way, Kent, and parts of Tacoma. This is All Things Considered on KNKX.